Welcome to the Josh Bolton Show, where we dive into interesting and inspiring conversations. And now, your host, Josh Bolton.
So before I even start, your last name is Caggioni, right?
Caggiano.
Caggiano. Okay. Yes. All right, thank you. I would butcher that and then be like, oops, sorry.
No worries.
All right, today on the show, we have Tony Caggioni. I think I just butchered it again. Great man. He's all about ADA compliance for websites, which honestly, I didn't even know this thing existed, and about helping the entrepreneurial mind go forward. He's been at this for 30 years. Here he is, Tony.
Hey, thanks, Josh, for having me today. It's great to be here.
Pleasure is mine. How you doing?
Awesome. I'm great. Yeah.
So actually, let's get right into it, Tony. Can you tell me the layman's of the ADA for websites?
Absolutely. Yeah. So back in 1990, the ADA got signed into law, which is the Americans with Disabilities Act. And that we're all familiar with it, even if we really don't know that we're familiar with it. We've seen handicapped parking. We've seen handicap access in public bathrooms, in stores. You see ramps and accessible features for people who have disabilities in brick and mortar businesses. But about 4 or 5 years ago, the first case came about where a supermarket called Winn-Dixie here in the South was actually sued by a gentleman who said that their website wasn't accessible to him because he was he had a seeing disability. And so he said it was hard for him to utilize their website. So the court deemed that Winn-Dixie had to go back and make these changes to their website to make it accessible to him and to others who had disabilities. And that became the precedent of the rest of what's been happening ever since. And so since then, an ADA compliance or accessibility options on websites have been around for a lot longer than that. It just hasn't been in the forefront and the precedent of people making an example of it. And it's long overdue, actually. The internet's been around for, over 20 plus years now, and less than 1 or 2% of all websites have any kind of accessibility options. So over the past 4 to 5 years, the number of lawsuits have been rising against businesses who aren't accessible. But the thing in my mind, and the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing to build awareness about it, is that these businesses haven't been informed properly. They haven't been told that this is a law that they have to follow. They haven't been informed of how to do things until it's too late. A lot of times they get these letters and they have to go to court and defend themselves against something that they didn't know about. So my mission is to help make the internet accessible to people of all abilities and to help not only as an advocate for the disabled community, but be a presence to help businesses become aware of this before it's too late, and also show them all the great benefits that they can have. So
that's a lot, and it's going to be an awesome interview. One thing I just want to add in before we actually go into the nuances and details. One of my entrepreneurial friends, I do martial arts.
Okay.
And so his buddy started his own restaurant right before all the lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, his restaurant did not make it. But during the heat of it, like I was able to get in, sneak in and get a nice burrito and leave kind of thing. But he jokingly told me offhand, he's like, yeah, I'm a little worried that the ADA is going to come after me for not having Braille menus. And I'm like, wait, that's a thing?
Yes.
And I'm like, wait. I'm like, it's one of those, I didn't know like you actually had to have a Braille menu too.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, even if it's just one, you're supposed to keep one within reach for a client. I'm like, I'm not an entrepreneur in the food industry. I didn't know this.
Right. Right. And so there are so many different things, not only just on websites, and not only, a lot of it is built into building codes for ramps and accessible bathrooms and things like that. So like if a business is building out a brick and mortar place where people can go, those are the things that have to be done in order to pass their building codes. But there are a lot of things like the Braille menus or, your website being accessible that people don't realize that also need to be done as well. And so this is why we're trying to bring awareness. So
So actually, I've had I had a blind guest come on, and I have a blind podcast network host coming on soon. And they've even told me how matchmakers actually makes it harder for them to navigate because there is no interface for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, like, you know, I don't know that experience of having to bounce around the internet without seeing. I have to like hear it.
Yeah.
And I saw the first one, her name was Gal, since she said, can you email me because I can use my interface and understand it better. I'm like, okay. So when the other guy messages, say, hey, I know that matchmaker's having trouble keeping the blind community involved. So I'm like, I'll email you kind of thing. He's like, thank you. No, people don't understand. I'm like, I didn't know that until a gal told me.
Yeah. And it's really crazy because, you know, you think of people with disabilities, that people who have, you know, are legally blind or totally blind or deaf or, you know, any of these, you know, extreme disabilities that people usually think about. But people all over the world, almost 25% of the entire population of internet users have some kind of disability that hinders their use of most websites, which is huge. It's $1 billion market each year. That's, you know, millions of people out there that if you're a business doing business on the internet, you're missing out on a whole population. Think about it. Our aging population is getting older. And as we get older, our, you know, things happen. You know, we lose, you know, our ability to see the way we used to when we were younger. Even myself, I wear glasses. I can see the screen right now and I can understand that you are there, Josh, on the screen, but I can't read, you know, anything on the screen without my glasses. And to me, this is a tool that I use in order to be able to do things easier and more efficiently, because without my glasses, I couldn't see. And so again, if you think about things like that, these are the tools that we use to help us do the things that we need to do. And we have to be aware of, you know, people who have all kinds of disabilities, from seeing and hearing, but not only those, cognitive and learning disabilities, and even physical disabilities, dexterity to use mice or to navigate, you know, websites with our hands or whatever we need to do.
Right.
So those are the types of things that we're trying to help businesses easily and affordably add to their websites and to their digital real estate to become compliant with the ADA, but also reach more people with disabilities. And also, you know, we'll talk about in a second how they can reach more people even without disabilities by adding accessibility and assistive technology to their websites.
So that's actually interesting. At one point in my life, I thought about being a drop shipper and I was going to buy a nice like Square or Wix. Actually a subtopic within that we need to get to. But then that's where I never thought about it. I'm like, oh, like there's a whole demographics. It's true. They're humans. They want to buy, even though they can't see it, maybe a nice soft like squirrel plush doll kind of thing. They just know by the feeling it's a squirrel kind of thing. I never would have thought about that.
Yeah.
That is an impressive market, untapped almost.
Yeah, there are lots of people out there that need these types of things. And so just to go into it a little bit deeper so more people understand it, you know, I like to tell the story about Philbert. You know, Philbert is a builder, right? So Phil goes onto the job site one day and he's got three different job sites he can choose from. And so he goes and he looks at the first job site and all the materials to build the house are there, but no tools. And this really equates to a website where you would go to somebody with a disability and to utilize that website. And there's no accessibility or assistive technology on that website to be able to use it. The next job site he goes to, he goes and all the materials are there and he's given just a hammer. And so he's given a tool to do the job, but he's not going to be able to do this job efficiently or effectively or cost effectively. So, you know, this also equates to another type of website where somebody, you know, makes the website accessible to a certain type of person. You know, there's two ways you can make a website accessible, both statically and dynamically. And statically was the old way where you had to hire a web designer to go in and change the code and make it a certain way so that a certain subset of people with disabilities can utilize it. Dynamically now is the new way where they would use software, kind of like my ADA Comply Guy software, where we would put it in addition on top of the website so that they can go and change a lot of different things on the website. Like we have a screen reader, we have contrast changes, we can change it to black and white for people with color blindness, all the different things that each individual user of the website can change dynamically to meet their specific needs. So with the second house site, by giving just a hammer, it's like going to a website where it's statically changed just for a certain subset of people with disabilities. And yes, it is ADA compliant, but it's not dynamically adjustable to a lot more people with different types of disabilities. Now, the third job site Filbert goes to, he has a choice of all these different types of tools, a pneumatic hammer. He's got screws. He's got nails. He's got all these types of tools. So he can go and efficiently and quickly build this house easily to how he likes to utilize or to build the house. And this equates to a website where not only does it have assistive technology, it's also able to be adjusted by the people who want to utilize that site the way that they can. There's special needs for that site, whether they're colorblind or they have a reading disability that, you know, they need the site read to them with a screen reader. They can go and utilize that website efficiently and effectively for them. So
that's actually interesting. In your three-part story, I was just thinking about that. Okay, let's say like the second part I want to bring up is like Wix. Do they have a type of ADA compliance, or is it would be like I'd have to like get an add-on from you for my website to change up?
Our software works with, almost all of the platforms that we've tested with, and Wix is one of them. I don't believe Wix currently has a built-in accessibility toolbar. It's probably only a matter of time before a lot of places do, because everybody's becoming more aware of it. But, it's really up to the business owner now, today in 2021, to do something, to be able to do it. And, by utilizing a service like what we have, we go with the hybrid approach. No software is going to be able to make you 100% compliant or give you most or all of the tools that you're going to need on your website. So we utilize a hybrid approach where our software will get you 80% of the way. It'll get you mostly compliant. It'll give you a lot of the tools that people can utilize. But then we go a step further and we help you with services like making your videos closed caption for people who are hearing impaired, or even people who don't have a disability that want to read the videos in case they're on the train going to work or in a noisy environment or in a library where they can't utilize sound.
Right.
We also go in and help with alternate text, which is the underlying description of all of the pictures or graphics on a website. So if somebody's on, say, a Shopify site, we can help them with alt text, where if somebody hovers over a picture of a green bathing suit rather than a red bathing suit, it'll show up on the screen, green bathing suit or red bathing suit. So somebody who's colorblind can actually know this is a green one and this is a red one. Or somebody who's hearing impaired, the screen reader will say this is a green bathing suit or this is a red one. So
those are the types of things. I never thought of like that. I personally never had the problem, so I never thought it was going to be a big deal kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I should have known better, but I was young and dumb. I grew up in a very special needs system. Long story short, I guess in the 90s, they didn't understand what ADHD was.
Mm-hmm.
So they labeled me bipolar instead. So I got sent through the special, but not the super special group.
Mm-hmm.
It was the blind, deaf, the mentally slower, but not gone kind of thing. And I've just always grown up with them. And it's just one of those, I would always assist them, but I never realized from a business point of view, how much you put on the side and just be like, they can figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I completely understand actually, where you're coming from too, because I have two sons. One is, high functioning autism and the other is, ADHD, has ADHD. And so we're dealing with that, right now, but our older son, being on the autism spectrum, he's really smart, but he has a hard time comprehending things that he reads himself. So when he reads something, it's hard for him to process it and then think about and comprehend what he's reading. So sometimes a screen reader actually helps him by, if something's read to him, then he can think about it while it's being read to him and comprehend it much better. And so one of the tools that we have is a screen reader. So if he goes to a certain website with these tools on it, someone like him who has, a need for somebody to read something to him, then he can utilize a screen reader to have the website read to him and better understand it.
That's interesting. Actually, yeah. For me, I just always thought it was me, how I processed information. Actually today I was reading a book and one of my friends were like, oh, but you say you don't read books. I'm like, if it's a visual problem like math, I have to read it,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. said, other than that, like, I'd rather listen to someone because I can process it better. But if it's visual, then I just, it's like a switch. I understand I have to read this kind of thing.
Right.
That's right. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that we learned, you know, having, you know, our boys with special needs. We wanted, my wife and I wanted to make sure that we understood them better and how they learned so we can give them the tools that they needed. And, you know, we learned that, you know, his need to have something read to him is just something the way his brain processes information. And it doesn't make him, you know, in our minds, disabled. You know, he's different abled. He just processes and learns differently. And so, you know, by listening to something, he's able to think about it and visualize it better rather than reading it, processing it, visualizing it. It's just an extra step that he has to go through in his brain in order to understand it. So
that's so fascinating. Yeah. I'm recently, because I was trying to learn trading, but then I realized, oh, wait, trading is about business. Then in business, I realized, wait, business is just psychology. Became this whole rabbit hole now. So as I've been studying psychology, like reading Thinking Fast and Slow. And then now I'm reading, it's going to be a long one. It's the Gulag Archipelago.
Okay.
Essentially, if you read the first one, the Thinking Fast and Slow, it's the two systems, the emotional and logical, and how they can override each other. But then I'm trying to ignore all the gory details because it's a prisoner of the communistic lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But he's telling explicit details, and knowing the previous of how emotions can override logic, just hearing the stories of what they go through, I'm like, oh, they're using like fear against them kind of thing. And they just, the people don't realize it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So in all that, that's where the spiral of it, I've come to realize it's just in general business, it's the emotions of, will I be compliant like for yours or this? Compared to, we just got to call up Tony and then we're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do, you know, my company, the ADA Comply Guy, can do to help businesses understand, you know, what they need specifically and how we can help them, you know, with our tools and our other services. But just recently, you know, I've been able to work with a lot of businesses because some businesses come to me, you know, a lot of the larger businesses like that have in the past gotten letters from the ADA, like Chick-fil-A and Home Depot and even Kylie Jenner and Beyonce have gotten, you know, sued because their websites weren't ADA compliant, but they have the on-site staff. They go back and like, okay, we're going to change, you know, things. We're going to make sure that it's compliant statically. And so to me, that's the minimal viable content that you can do to make your website compliant. There's no tools available to a lot of these websites that allow somebody to dynamically adjust them. So they go and they can do it because they have the staff to do it. But a lot of the smaller businesses, you know, now that they're getting picked off, because what they're doing is there was over 11,000 lawsuits last year in the US, and that was up from like 3,500 the prior year. So, I mean, it's growing astronomically, you know, and what they're doing is are these lawyers are spraying, you know, businesses that they go and they search the internet for businesses that don't have any type of ADA compliance and say, okay, here's a letter, you know, and they're doing that. So we're trying to bring awareness to the little guy, but a lot of the people, you know, when I started this business a little over a year ago, people were like, well, yeah, we'll have to take our chances because we can't afford it. Well, I went back to the drawing board and I said, okay, how can I make this not only easy and efficient for people to add to their websites, but also cost effective? And so, you know, what we were able to do is find out that the US actually has money they want to give businesses in order to make their websites compliant.
Interesting.
And so in the form of a 50% tax credit, any business that makes under $1 million a year in revenue, or if they make over $1 million, has less than 30 full-time employees, which is a large portion of the businesses that we're targeting, they can apply for and qualify for up to or 50% of anything that they spend on accessibility for their business. So if they have a website and they come to us directly and they utilize our services, anything that they spend on our services, they'll get back 50% each year. Because our service is an annual subscription, each year they'll get back 50% of that as a tax credit or a refund.
That's impressive. Yeah. Yes. So I do have a question. So let's say like a hobbyist like me, I'm not making money. This is just a passion of love kind of right now. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be more later on, but it's like, how much would it run for me if I wanted to attend to that community?
We have our basic package. It's $597 a year.
Okay.
So that equates to, you know, about half of that you'd get back in your taxes. If you were to just fill out a simple form that we can give you, it's a tax form, just says, this is how much I've spent on, you know, accessibility products for my business. And then we would give you the invoice to attach that. And then boom, you know, that would be an instant 50% back of anything you spent for that. Okay. Most businesses opt for our pro plan, which is $9.97 a year, but that includes up to two URLs, which is, you know, two website addresses. But also we would help you with up to 10 minutes of closed captioning of videos, as well as your alternate text. So we can make you even more compliant with the ADA, but also help you reach more people. And the real big thing is when you're adding alt text tags to your photos on your website will actually rank higher on Google's SEO. So you're actually going to be reaching a lot more people because you're going to be ranked higher. Even people who don't have disabilities will be able to find you and see your business much more. So you're going to be able to reach a whole nother group of customers that you may not have otherwise as well. So those are some of the things that we are doing to help businesses. But to go a step further, one thing that I've done recently, I've been working directly with web design firms, with Facebook and other Google ad firms, as well as, let's see, we're working with a coach. So coaching programs or any other type of business that do online marketing. If we work directly with them and they purchase our licensing to include in their platform, then not only will then their solution, let's say a web designer includes this, and now his web designs, his web services are accessible. So he's providing accessible web design. They become eligible for the tax credit. So not only will his customers be able to get the tax credit on just the software portion, or if they came to us directly, they'd get, you know, 50% of our pricing. But now let's say the web designer charges $2,500 for a website. And now they'll be able to get 50% back of the $2,500, not just the purchase of our services. So we're trying to go more direct to these businesses to help them make their services more accessible so we can reach more people, because that's our main mission, is to reach as many websites and many businesses as possible. And by working with web designers who have many clients, we can help their clients get a lot more money back for their marketing budget through this tax credit by adding our services to theirs and offering it to their customers. So it's really a win-win for everyone involved.
So you mentioned something earlier that I've been looking into with the SEO ranking, having more words and more definitions helps you rank better. One thing a guy recommended, even if it's poor like structure, you just run it through otter.ai, get your transcript and post it. He's like, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like ranking. He's like, but also the people who rather read, he's like, it's better for them. I'm like, well, wouldn't they notice the period? He's like, it's a transcript. They'll figure it out kind of thing. And then now I'm thinking about that actually would explain, because some of my posts are doing fantastic. And I'm like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like the actual podcast itself is tanking, but the post is doing fine kind of thing. But that makes more sense. Maybe there's communities I don't even know I'm reaching that are helping out.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of anything that you have digitally can be made more accessible to people, whether it is, like you said, like a podcast, if you include transcriptions, you know, those will be able to be used as in your SEO to reach more people, but also people who may not be able to hear as well. They want to go read your podcast. They can go and they can see the transcription and read through it. You know, so there are also ways to make your PDFs or anything that you have as your blog sites or whatever more accessible by adding things to those as well, making them easier to see, contrast changes, or the type of fonts that you use. Some of the tools that we have, like one of the tools is just really cool that we include in our service, is a button that you press and it makes the font change to a more readable font. So somebody who wants to have really good design in their website for, you know, making it look really nice, but somebody who can't read the font because it's, you know, one of those really cool fonts, you press this button. It's the
super squiggly ones.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this button will change it right to like a Times New Roman or an Arial, which is a super easy to read font.
That's honestly that not even just for the ADA. For me, there are some where it's like it's a very crafty woman, the cool hand calligraphy style. But I'm like, mm-hmm. Is that an S? Is that a Q?
Exactly.
If she had that button, I'd be like, oh, I get it. It's zoo, not something else kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There, a lot of these tools can be used by people even if you don't have a major disability, you know, just for, you know, situations like you were just saying. You know, it's they're really amazing things to have on your website for many, many different reasons. So it's really, you know, I love doing it because I love educating businesses and I love seeing their aha moments. You know, like you had today, you're like, I didn't even know about this. And still most of the people that I talk to are like, wow, I didn't even realize this was, you know, so big or so needed, you know, and so that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
So I'm curious, you were talking about lawyers earlier and Google scouting people out and getting them kind of thing. So I was working for a very shady security company, but pretty much any security company is shady. but there was a curb where I was working with truckers. So mm-hmm. I had to step down to go get their driver's license and then go back up. Well, I rolled my ankle like 5 times on the job site. Ouch. So eventually it was not fun. I still have problems with it. But the head security guy, like the head, I guess he was like the pretty much the equivalent of the CEO for the site. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, but it was like he was making the $20K a month kind of thing. And he essentially, he's like, yeah, I've told your security company they need to cut steps into that curb.
Yeah.
He's like, because it is. He's like, not even just ADA. He's like, that's a 3-foot step down you're going. He's like, it's just rough on the knees.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's where after so many injuries, I guess that lawyer caught wind of my reports for HR. And so it was just one of those,
right.
I guess they were saying it was also not wheelchair accessible and this accessible. And I'm like, but it's a truck gate. Like why would you need it? Cause it's too small kind of thing to put a wheelchair in. But I'm thinking, oh wait, now from what you're explaining, it's like, it doesn't really matter. You just have to do it.
Yes. You know, I mean, it has to be, you know, accessible to everyone, you know, and that's really what the law is all about, to not discriminate against people with disabilities just because they have a disability. And it really goes, you know, all over, not only websites, you know, it's like you said, that curb right there, you probably should have had a ramp built in. So that way anybody could either walk down it or, you know, if they, maybe not a wheelchair. I mean, maybe just somebody with a cane. It would be much easier for them to walk up a slight incline than it would be to go upstairs or even step up a 3-foot curb. You know, so just those things you have to think about, not just the things that instantly pop in your head, but a lot of the other things that, you know, people deal with on a daily basis. And most disabilities are invisible. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, you may not know somebody has tunnel vision or glaucoma or even color blindness, but that's something that they deal with on a daily basis. And they have to, you know, adjust for those things that they deal with. And if the tools are there, then they can easily do that. Because right. If somebody with a disability goes to your site and the tools aren't there, then it's like hanging a sign on your front window saying your business isn't welcome here. You know, by giving them the tools that they need to come into your website, you know, get the information they want or even make a purchase, you're allowing them to, you know, come and become a customer just like anybody else. And that's what that's the main goal of doing business, is to bring in people and offer them your products or services and make sure that they can, you know, get them easily just like anybody else would.
That's interesting. Yeah, this is the aha moment. Like so many ideas are firing off now. Because it's like, wait, does Subway's menu have this ADA compliance kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, there are, like I said, only 1-2% of all websites out there are compliant with the ADA. And unfortunately, in my mind, and this is my opinion, a lot of the big sites like Subway and Domino's and all of them, you know, they have fixed their sites to be minimally compliant with the ADA. Right. And some people say that, you know, becoming a statically adjusted accessible website is the only way to do it, because that's the way they've been doing it since the beginning of the internet, building websites with HTML and changing the code and making sure it's built into the website. But, you know, in my mind, you know, it's really a balance of the static and dynamic ways of doing this, because, you know, by doing it statically, you're limiting the amount of people that can use that site, because you're saying, okay, this site is accessible to this subset of people with disabilities. But by adding more features and dynamic ability to adjust the site to your specific needs, if you have a disability, then you're giving more options to more people with other kinds of disabilities as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to run right now through my head as you're talking, is the, okay, let's say for me, I pay the $500-ish for the year. Is it a widget, like an unseeable widget that's on the site, or it would be like a certain logo that everyone in the community would know, oh, click this kind of thing?
It's a little icon that we can put it in any four corners of the website, or either left or right in the middle. And I prefer to show people to put it in the left-hand corner, right, in the middle, because a lot of time, not the left-hand corner, the left-hand side in the middle. Because a lot of times you'll see other widgets or help desk icons or things like that pop into the left and the bottom right, and can sometimes cover it up or hide it or make it not as easily to see. I usually put ours on the left-hand side, because we usually in the U.S. we read left to right. And so it makes it very easy for people to see and click on. And once you click on it, you know, a fourth of the website, you'll see a little toolbar open up. And it's very, we've designed it to be very simplistic by design, because there are other website tools out there for accessibility that I've seen, you know, they do similar things, but a lot of them are harder to use because their buttons are smaller, or you have to click little, you know, slide bars, or you have to actually slide things over. And so by making it more difficult to adjust the site, that hinders somebody with a disability from the start. Ours are big square buttons that you just click on it once, twice, or three times in order to change the features that you want. Like our contrast, our color changing button, you click on it once, it changes it to a grayscale for people with color blindness. You click on it again, it will highlight in high contrast all of the headlines of the website. And if you click it once more, it takes the whole website and changes it into a negative contrast, kind of like an x-ray for some people who have a seeing disability that can see better in that way. So that way it makes it very easy for them to be able to click on the different options that they want and adjust accordingly.
That's just absolutely fascinating. Cause yeah, like earlier, I was like, I never knew this was a thing. I didn't like I said, this podcast right now is labor love, but I know eventually it's going to be a thing and like potentially make me income, but I don't want to be like breaking the rules because no one told me this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, I mean, I know you have a small website for the podcast and to connect with people and things like that. And people don't realize that, oh, well, it's just a small website. Well, I mean, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, or, you know, wanted to utilize that, you know, either it's a sales funnel or a website, and they can't read it or they can't see it or whatever, for whatever reason, you know, by having this widget on there, you're not only protecting yourself from a lawsuit, it would be horrible to get a lawsuit based on just a small website that leads into your podcast, you know. And these are the things that people don't realize, they're still needed. As long as you have a URL address or something connected to the internet, even SaaS products, we're working with some SaaS product owners that you go to a website and you could utilize their software. Like, all over today, most software products are subscription-based software as a service, where you go online and you utilize like Gmail or things like that, instead of the old days where you got a disk and you installed it in your computer. Most things are browser-based. So even things like that, people still need to be able to utilize something that's on the web in software form or website form. So that's why, you know, this can be utilized in so many different formats, whether it's a sales funnel, a website, a business website or SaaS products or anything like that. So
this is just absolutely impressive. Like completely blew the gate off everything. so now I'm curious. So there's two apps that keep coming to mind for me. Cause the gal lady said she paid like $500 for an interface to read for her. So she's like, I personally don't need websites to be compliant, but she's like, but for some reason, Matchmaker does not work with my software kind of thing. Right. And I'm like, okay. But I'm thinking, is YouTube compliant? Is like Uber compliant? Because like she's told me she had to use Uber and she actually had to have someone order it, the car for her because she can't use it. That's where I'm like, wait, now we're getting the phone part. How does that work?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a lot of the larger companies, you know, like I said, are, and I would guess that a lot of the larger companies are compliant, like I said, to the minimal viable need for the ADA, you know, because they have their website designers go in and add different things, and they can, you know, make the contrast a certain level between different brightness and things like that to get them to that ADA compliance level. But it still doesn't give them all of the adjustability that some people do need.
That was actually what I was going to say, because I know they introduced closed captioning for ranking reason, but I think it would be the ADA. But just thinking from what you said, other than light and dark theme, I don't think there's anything I can actually switch or an active button to say, hey, if you're colored impaired, you can't see green and red because that's my uncle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that's
one of the like click lines. This kind of thing.
Yeah. So a lot of the big sites, they don't have those types of options. And so, you know, my main focus is on the smaller guys that really need the help, you know, the small businesses, the medium-sized businesses that are out there, the mom and pops that really need our help these days because of everything that's going on,
right?
You know, to help them, the restaurants, to help them stay in business. You know, we want them to be able to reach more customers. We want them to be able to protect themselves from, you know, any other legal issues that may come down the pipe, you know. So that's really where our market is. You know, I feel for the big guys. I hopefully that they also do what they need to. But we really want to make sure that we get this message out to all the little guys who really need our help.
Yeah, and they do. Actually, now I'm thinking about it. It's one of those, my martial arts instructor, he has a website and he sends a lot of people to it. Most of them are visual. So that part he's okay with, but he also like me is like, I wouldn't want to exclude a potential customer because my site is built a certain way kind of thing. So how would, let's say I send him as a referral to you kind of thing. Like most of his work is not actually on websites, but it's a key marketing point for him.
Yeah.
So how would he be, let's say martial artist, not really tech savvy. How would you go about helping him?
Well, first and foremost, if you sent me a referral, we have an affiliate program where we would help you monetize your podcast by, okay, you know, if you wanted to do referrals. So that's one way. Cause I want this, when I got into business 30 plus years ago and became an entrepreneur, my main goal was to make sure that whatever I did to help businesses also helped someone else, you know. So I've also been involved in philanthropy and giving back. So by having a win-win situation, I've always built it in a way where anybody that I've worked with or gave me referrals, you know, I was able to help them as well. So that's why I created the affiliate program. So that's the first part. But depending on, you know, the business, let's take the martial arts business as an example. If he had a web designer, somebody who built his website, I would talk to him to try to get in touch with his web designer, because if we can get his web designer to incorporate my service into his website design, then the martial artist company can actually get a larger tax credit because they're going to be able to get their tax credit based on what they're paying the web designer, not just my product. But if I, let's say the martial artist, you know, the gentleman who owns the dojo, built his own website. Let's say he went to Wix and he's like, okay, I'm going to be crafty. I'm going to do it myself. That's fine too, because then, he can come to us and we can help him install this. And basically to install it, we build a custom script. It's a small JavaScript code,
right,
that sits in the footer of your website. We can help you copy and paste it in there if you need to. A lot of places like Wix or ClickFunnels, they have a place where you just copy and paste it in there, and that will automatically point back to our servers and the toolbar will show up. But if he's building his own website, then we can work directly with him to put that on his website with him. And he'd be able to get going that way and get the tax credit based off of our services as well.
So let's go with the theme of him, but I know Wix because I've been working with it. So let's say he puts you in as a manager and says, go for it. Like, you help me out and I'll pay you whatever. Is it still the same $500 for the basic, or would it be a little extra because you're going in kind of thing?
Well, the $597 is for one website. It's just for the toolbar solution. And so, yes, we would, if he needs help copying and pasting the code, we can help. If he gives us access to the website, one of our team members will go in and help him copy and paste it. And it's very simple. It's a 5-minute process.
Yeah. Like for mine, I have one for my SpeakPipe, so you can message me, but also my actual podcast. Super easy. And usually everyone's like, oh, just copy here, paste here kind of thing.
Exactly.
But like him, he's not tech savvy. He barely understands his Apple phone.
Okay. Well, then, you know, any customers like that, we're happy to help get that installed and set up for them. The pro plan would go a step further and help him, you know, if he does have a video on his website, or if, you know, he needs the alt text in there as well to become a little bit more compliant with the ADA, then those are the types of things that we can help them with as well. And in case maybe he has a, you know, whatever it is, his dojo.com, and maybe he has his dojo.net or another website that's kind of affiliated with his company, then he would get two URLs as well as, you know, as well as the video closed captioning and other services that we do provide.
That's interesting. Yeah. So actually the whole studio, he has a franchise. So he told me for him, for insurance, it's easier to pay the franchise fee than figure it out on his own. Mm-hmm. But so I actually know the actual owner of the company too. And he would absolutely jump on this, because I personally was teaching once in my lifetime martial arts. And actually some of my best students were the blind and the deaf, mm-hmm. and the mentally slower. I don't know any other appropriate word. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So those were my best, but most of them said they got it through the website, but this was back in like 2011. So yeah. They couldn't really, it's not like they could be slamming down the doors and be like, how dare you kind of thing. But now thinking about it, because they were very good clients and they were very loyal for a long time. He would not want to give up those kind of clients if his website's a hindrance. Same with the main studio. This is fascinating layering now.
Oh, you can hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to move my mic.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Something. I think there's a short in the cord or something, because all I did was push it forward. So.
Yeah, that's what I even saw that, and then suddenly it went quiet. I'm like, uh-oh. All right. Yeah. I'll cut all that out. I'll cut that all out. Where would we leave off?
We were talking about, you know, how many, there's a lot of different avenues that we can utilize to help people, you know, not only the directly to the businesses, but, you know, to helping franchises help all of their franchise owners and things like that. So.
Awesome. Yeah. It still bugs me to this day where like Gal told me, like, I had to ask someone to order me an Uber because I can't use their app. And then now it's just like, wait, how many new like startups don't even know this rule and they could utilize a lot of weight. Now this is the extra one. What if a SaaS incorporated the whole thing? Like, let's say they paid the $1,000 for you to incorporate to theirs and they have their engineers figure out how to code it in. So would that mean everything they spend on their software be also 50% off because it's ADA compliant?
So we have a program where a SaaS company can utilize our services. And so what happens is, you know, they would incorporate it into their software. And so let's say they charge, you know, $100 a month for their software. Prior to incorporating it, they can, you know, their customers would pay the $99. But if they now offer an accessible product, then that product now becomes eligible for the tax credit. So let's say somebody's paying $1,200 a year for their product. You know, they could probably, if it's a business expense, they could deduct it. And the deduction is different than a tax credit. And I'm not a tax attorney or anything that. So all I know is that a deduction, if you deduct something, it lowers your amount of taxable income. but a tax credit is a dollar for dollar credit back in your pocket. So, so let's say they're paying $1,200 a year for their SaaS service, and now they're now it's an accessible service because the SaaS company incorporates our software into it. Now somebody can get $600 back. Now they're paying half of what they were before for the same product because the SaaS company incorporates it. So every one of their customers is now getting the same amount of service, but they're also getting, they're pretty much paying half out of pocket each year for that same service.
So that's interesting. So let's, like the analogy of me buying your software again, because I bought it and I incorporated it. And let's say I had a nice sales thing finally. Would that mean I as the owner get the credit, or how I interpreted the client too gets a credit?
Both get credit. So
interesting.
Yeah. So let's go back to the web designer analogy. That's one of the agencies that I work with the most are web designers or ad agencies and things like that. So the ad agency would purchase our software licensing. They would purchase the license to use our software to resell. A resell license to their clients. And so let's say they spent, you know, they bought 10 licenses and they spent $5,000 with us for the year. They can get a tax credit on that $5,000. So they would get back $2,500 back from the government that year. So out of pocket really is $2,500. We also have grant programs we're working with for web agencies, which is another side conversation to help them get involved for even less out of pocket. So that way we can help even more of their clients, but that's a separate topic.
Right.
So now they incorporate our license, resell license into their web design. And so now their web design, it's not an option. It's just included in their web design for their clients. Their clients go and they purchase this website from them for $3,000. Now, because it's accessible, now their client can go and get a tax credit of the $3,000 that they paid for that website back in, because it's an accessible website. Because the way that the tax credit reads is anything that you purchase or any expense that has to do with accessibility for your clients qualifies for this tax credit. So whether you add a ramp to your store, or whether you add accessibility or any type of assistive technology to your website, or you know, anything to do with offering accessibility to people with disabilities qualifies for this tax credit.
That's so okay. Now I'm curious. Is let's say for a podcast, like mm-hmm. I didn't have a website, like I just bootstrapped it. I only did an anchor. How would I get in trouble, let's say eventually, if I'm making money, that it's not accessible for whoever, or because it's just audio, would that be an exclusion?
One thing that we've been working with is, you know, if you purchased a transcription service from somebody or something to, and you can show on the invoice that it is a service that's adding accessibility to your podcast. You know, like if you paid somebody to transcribe all of your episodes, then that expense would, in my mind, the way that the tax credit is written would be an eligible expense to get back. So there is a little, not a caveat, but the way it's written is you will get back up to 50% of everything you spend over your first $250. So the larger the expense, the more you're actually going to get back. So if you only spent $250 for the year on, say, transcription services, there wouldn't be any tax credit because you have to foot the bill for the first $250. But if you spent $3,000 on a website, then you would be getting back 50% of most of that because $250 is just a small portion of it. So you'd be getting back, you know, everything above $250. So
is it, so let's say, because I've bought transcriptions, but I just know from ranking it, it's better to have it. Because mm-hmm. of that, I made it accessible, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's otter.ai. It's like $100 for the year. I did their annual instead of monthly. So then I would not get the full credit for that because it was only $100, right?
Correct, because it's less than $250. But if you, you know, if let's say that transcription service was included, let's say, you know, you purchased our package and then you added on transcription, which is one of the services we're looking to add to, because we do closed captioning. So it's just a natural, you know, progression of doing transcription of audio as well. Let's say you bought our complete package and it cost you $1,000 and included, you know, X amount of transcriptions, and then you added on more. And then later in the year, you spend another couple hundred dollars on more transcriptions because you had more things for the services. And so let's say for the year total, you spent $1,500.
Okay.
And so you can get back 50% of $1,250 because you take the $250 off the top and $1,250 is left. You can get half of that back, you know, which is, what is it, like $675 or something like that. You would get back as a tax refund, tax credit at the end of the year for your business. So it makes sense because if you're going to be, if you're going to, like, especially with somebody who's doing web services, if your web designer is going to charge you $2,500 for a website, and then if he adds on these services, and let's say even if he charges you $3,000 now because he's adding in the cost of the accessibility and everything like that, your out of pocket is still going to be less than it was before because you're going to get back, you know, almost $1,500. So your out of pocket is going to be like $1,500 or $1,600 instead of $2,000. So by adding accessibility, the web designer or the web agency is actually going to be making money because they're going to be adding this accessibility into their services. But the end customer is also going to be saving money because of the tax credit and how it works.
This is definitely, like, a lot of small businesses wouldn't mind, like you said, just drop $3,000 now, but you know you're going to get half of it back next year kind of thing.
Exactly. And one of the great things is, you know, I've been in the digital marketing space for a little over a year now, and I've gotten to know a lot of great coaches and course creators that help people, you know, grow their business or help them with a lot of different things. And, you know, some of them are high ticket offers. You know, some of them charge $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. And a lot of them, I have one of my mentors when I first got started, he's a business coach that teaches affiliate marketing. And he and I are talking about incorporating a training on ADA compliance and our software into his program so that when people build their websites for their affiliate marketing business, it's accessible. And by doing that, his $5,000 program now just got cut in half for the people who buy it. So instead of paying $5,000 out of pocket for the year, they pay him the $5,000, but they'll be able to get back almost $2,500 in tax credits for the year. And so it just helps him close more business, helps him get more people into the program to help them start their business. And it's just a win-win for everybody around. And on top of that, any licenses that he buys from me, he can apply for and get the tax credit as well because he's helping his customers with an accessible product now.
And I would assume, like, let's go with the affiliate marketer, because he's doing a sales, would the actual sale be the same or would that be credited too?
I think that would be sell for what?
The ADA for him. So, like, would that be go against his income, but he sold the ADA kind of thing? This is probably a tax person question now.
Well, I'm in simple terms, you know, when I sell a resell license, I sell them in, you know, bulk packages. So they buy either 5, 10 or 25 or more.
Right.
So they get a discount. It's a wholesale rate. And so whatever they purchase from me at that wholesale rate, they can utilize and apply for the tax credit on those because they're purchasing a service that will help their customers with accessibility.
Okay, that's what I was thinking for. I was thinking also the second part where, like, once he sells it and he gets his income, he could also get a type of credit or deduction because of selling the ADA. But that might be more of a tax person thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really double dipping because they're buying a service from us to offer to their clients, which will make it accessible. So he's helping his clients with accessibility, and his clients are helping their clients with accessibility.
It all stems back to you.
Different.
That's awesome.
Yes, I mean, it really, and people are like, well, I can't really afford it. Well, there's no reason to not afford it anymore. We've been making it extremely lucrative for your business to be able to invest in accessibility and make you know, make it accessible to more people. And as I mentioned before, I'm working now with different nonprofits like the Lions Club. Their mission is to help people with blindness. So I'm working with them to be able to get grant money to help web agencies do, you know, cover that $250 or a little bit more of the other 50% that they have to put in. So if more web agencies can get involved, then we can reach all of their clients, which would help us reach a lot more businesses than me going one-on-one to businesses. We can go one to many by bringing more web agencies into the fold, helping them increase their business and reach more websites. And therefore we'll be able to make the internet accessible a lot faster.
So I'm actually curious now with this whole thing, and you've hinted on it, but it's wasn't a full gesture. So let's say like Google, most of their ads are visual. How would they be compliant?
Google, that is outside of my realm. You know,
okay.
How is Google compliant? I don't know. That's
well, no, it's just like I'm thinking, like, let's say like I'm watching YouTube. They have the closed captioning, mm-hmm. but they have standard color. There's no option to change it, kind of thing. And that's it.
Yeah, so there are still a lot of parts of the internet that are not accessible to people. And you know, if like you said, you know, you go to YouTube's website and you go to watch a video, if the font isn't right, or if it's, you know, if they can't see it, there's no tool on there for them to be able to adjust it accordingly. So you're right. There are a lot of the larger companies that, but in the background, you know, in their code, their fonts are probably adjusted to the right type of font that's compliant with the ADA standards. And the ADA goes by a set of rules put out there by the W3C, the Worldwide Consortium for Web Design. And this is part of it is, you know, it's a worldwide standard for accessibility, and accessibility is not just the U.S. The ADA governs the U.S., but Canada has the the ACA, which is the Accessibility for Canadians Act, and they have another one for Ontario. And other countries also have different regulations that for their websites for people with disabilities as well. So yes, we have the tax credits in the U.S., but accessibility really goes worldwide with the internet, since the internet is worldwide.
I would say, especially with 2020 essentially forcing everyone to do more commerce online than they would have normally.
Absolutely.
It's definitely a big problem.
That's why 2021 is the year that everybody really needs to know about this. And that's why I'm out there spreading the word far and wide, and hopefully, you know, and I know that we can't help everybody, you know, being one company, we can't help every single website, the bazillions of websites that are out there. But we want to be able to do our part to help, you know, as many as we can to become accessible. And, you know, even if they don't utilize our services, the ADA Comply Guy services, if they go to somebody else, as long as they're getting their website to be more accessible to people, that's really what we're all about. And my mission to help spread awareness about accessibility on the web.
Well, Tony, I actually have an event coming up. Definitely, I'm going to have to get you on because this is just fascinating. And I'd like to pick your brain more maybe in like 6 months and be like, hey, so what's new? What's different, kind of thing?
Yeah. I would love to do anything I can to help you and your listeners.
Wonderful. I'll shoot you an email later for some links and all that. And yeah, thank you again, Tony, for coming on. This is just truly an eye-opening day.
Oh, thank you, Josh. It's been great being on here. You know, it's been a great conversation. Great to meet you.
Same here. I appreciate you and everything you're doing.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye. Well, congratulations. You made it to the end. You're an awesome person. Not many make it here. So, being the awesome person that you are, can you do me one more awesome favor? Can you rate and review this on whatever podcast services you're using? If you do it on Apple, and you leave an actual written review, I have a thing on my website. I will take your written review and post it for all to see. Congratulations, you're permanently sealed on my site. Otherwise, I am trying to do YouTube more and live streaming. I will try to put as many of the YouTube links in the description of the show as I can. So give your boy some extra help over on YouTube. watch my videos. I just mute it and change the channel, change the window or something. But yeah, that's it. Thank you for being awesome and see you next time.